This is Over the Culture podcast, where you get to hear my spin on things I like music, sports, sports entertainment, movies, TV shows, and your mom. You also get to hear about things I don't like driving in the rain. And I'm your bastard of ceremonies, the one gig kid, Pat Stay Black, Alex Trebek, Reefer Sutherland, Luke Fly Talker, the most interesting nerd in podcasting, the troller of trolls, the prince of petty, Steve G.
Never coming haphazardly to do away with all you dirty dick dastardlies. Me and the microphone are like Mick and Mallory, naturally born to make beats casualties. Now in your mind you a beast, but in reality you messing with some dogs, that's bestiality. I'm saving the day, delivering soliloquies. Enemies in my path, to them I say, ninja please. This is the Tower of Steve. No time for you villains who like tugging on my sleeve. Killer 16, ripping everything I've seen. Feel it through your body like a kick into the spleen. Eventually I wanna hit up each and every scene. From New York to LA and everything between. Like the stone David sling to bring a lie to his knees. I go hard in the paint for my ninja MCs.
December 11, 2022, and it's raining. I don't like driving in the rain. I don't like having obligations while it's raining. I was off yesterday, and it didn't really rain. It just gave me that gray cloud shit, like it was pump faking. Don't just pull your titty out and not let me fuck, rain. Why don't you come through? Some of that energy that you got today, could have used that yesterday, because I like you. I appreciate you more when I don't have to be in you. I don't like having you touch me. It's not you, it's me. I can't be in a full relationship with you, Rain. Maybe I appreciate you from a distance. You're better off liked through my window. The pitter-patter. As I'm watching TV and I'm trying to get some sleep. But driving in you, nah. Especially on the weekend, how dare you, Rain? Bad timing, if you ask me. I do not like driving in the rain. Something I don't like even more than driving in the rain is those goddamn Houston Texabums, those co-Texans. Hey, we're the Houston Texans, because our football team's located in Houston, which is in Texas. So, get it? We're the Houston Texans. Jesus, who are the ad wizards who came up with this one? And we're currently, my Dallas Cowboys are currently losing to these bums 23-20 because Dak cannot get his head out of his ass. I don't know if that ball is just glued to his hands, epoxy, gorilla glue, I don't know what. But he thinks, I don't know who told him this, he thinks he has Tom Brady time in the fucking pocket. No, sir. No, sir. Our O-line's decent, but nah, man, you cannot take a nap, wake up, and still have time to drop off a slant. You gotta let that thing go, even if it's fucking out of bounds. Don't just sit there, get sacked. Don't rush it into a fucking pick. I mean, the clock is ticking. You know, I'm recording this as the game is going on. And if we're going to lose to any team, I really didn't want to lose to the fucking Eagles, who I really abhor. But I definitely do not want to lose to these bums of Houston, Texas. Because my timeline, I'm good friends with quite a few people who born and raised in Houston and are avid Texans fans. Huh, as cringe as that is to think about. And I just do not feel like seeing that shit. It's been a long fucking weekend. Doing double duty. From the warehouse to the TV place and back to the warehouse. But this is what I signed up for. Come on, Cowboys, with your funky ass. 2-minute warning, goddammit. But like I said, it's been a busy past few days for Steve, going from job to job and going back home to work on more jobs that I created for myself. Busy, busy, busy. Yeah, But I love it. It's my calling. It's what I'm here to do. Podcasting and people hearing my voice. Broadcasting, things of that nature. But I did have some time, not enough time, to listen to the new music that dropped on Friday. I didn't get to listen to SZA's latest album titled SOS, which is 1 hour and 8 minutes. It's 23 tracks, and the features are from Old Dirty Bastard, of all people. How did you pull that one off, SZA? There's a feature from Travis Scott, feature from Phoebe Bridgers, and Don Toliver. He's been popping up and making cameos on various projects. So I have yet to listen to that, and I didn't have enough time to listen to Mount Westmore, the super group put together by Too Short, Ice Cube, E-40, and Snoop. And that album is 1 hour and 5 minutes. It's 16 tracks, and so I have that on my list of things to listen to. And I didn't have enough time to listen to these projects because I was so enwrapped by the fucking Gucci Mane project. Oh my God. Gucci Mane dropped this past Friday and it's titled So Icy Boys, the finale. So Icy Boys, the finale. I couldn't believe my eyes when I first saw this. I had to double take. So Icy Boys, the finale. Fucking songs. Yes, you heard that right. 80 tracks. And the total playtime is 3 hours and 51 minutes. That's more than the whole Friday trilogy, with the credits, open and close. And I'm not even halfway done yet. I want to say I'm on track 25, 26. And I've already added a shit ton of them to the playlist. Because I fucks with the East Atlanta Santa, and goddammit, it's some features. Basically, the whole album is full of features because it's not just Gucci Mane, it's the guys from his 1017 crew, and it's just way too many people to name. I mean, some of them. You got OJ the Juice Man, you know, he returns, they collab again, that's good to know. Lil TJ, it's got some 2 Chainz action, it's got some Offset action, it's got Lil Baby action. And the Lil Baby song, which is titled All These Chainz, goes hard in the fucking paint. Just like the Offset track, Met Gala, and Met Gala Remix, Big 30, and... Yeah, man, it's just flooded with features, and if you like Gucci Mane, oh man, sit down and prepare yourself. This shit is longer than the Titanic. It's longer than the OJ case. Both of them. But I did get a chance to listen to Apathy. I was just educated Friday p.m., Of a gentleman named Apathy. He seems like an older fella. There's a reference of him growing up in the 70s. But, you know, like I said, I just found out about him. And this was a collaboration with Stu Bangas. It's Apathy and Stu Bangas, and the album is called King of Gods, No Second. And I added every song on this fucking album to the playlist. It's only 36 minutes and 2 seconds. 11 tracks, so, I mean... You can listen to this in it'll be over with by the skip of a heartbeat. Yeah, Apathy and Stu Bangas, man. King of Gods, No Second, and this is lyricism on steroids. It's like, I don't know. I mean, I was going to say Black Thought, but, you know, Black Thought is one of the cameos. Black Thought just don't get on a fucking feature. He just doesn't get on a track with any bum MC or wannabe faux MC. No, there's features from Black Thought, Esoteric, Self-Titled, RJ Payne, Sick Jackin, and Jadakiss. Yes, that Jadakiss. And Pharrell Munch. I mean, it's Super Saiyan Wu-Tang-like. This Apathy. I'm definitely keeping my ears peeled for the next Apathy project. I was alerted of this Stu Bangas earlier this year, and I covered one of his other collaborative efforts. And I mean, I was impressed by that one, and this one is no different, man. So if you like great hip hop, that underground I don't know. I would say even Cool G Rap in his heyday. If you like that kind of shit, just flipping words over and over, and the punchlines, the references, it's everything on an MC's checklist. King of Gods, no second. Speaking of Cool G Rap, he dropped his latest album called Last of a Dying Breed. And I added just about every track on this, just like the Apathy album. This one is not long. It's 34 minutes and 58 seconds with 11 tracks. And Cool G Rap, man, he's got features from Big Daddy Kane, Folkland Los, Royal Flush, General V, 38 Spesh, AZ, Al Scratch, Lil D, Blue Eyes, Grandmaster Caz. And yeah, man, it just goes back to my argument of real MCs age like wine. These rappers age like rotten banana peels on the side of the road on a humid day in Houston. Cool G Rap is an MC's MC. He is the grandfather, the godfather of your favorite MC. Yes. And he's no spring chicken. He's been in the game for a while, since the early 90s from what I can recall. And he's been sharpening the knife ever since then. Last of a Dying Breed, man. For my real hip hop heads. Strictly for my 90s ninjas. And A Boogie with a Hoodie. He released his latest album, Me Versus Myself. And I gotta say, man, I say that I'm not impressed by this current wave of wannabe Rod Waves. And I'm not saying A Boogie with a Hoodie is one of those people. But I'm just not too keen on the sing-songy, half-pseudo R&B slash rap, because it takes away from the MC aspect. It's like you can't sing and then spit a hot 16, unless your name is Andre Benjamin. But there's some of this current wave of stuff like that that I do appreciate. A Boogie with a Hoodie. He had a couple tracks. Me Versus Myself, it's 1 hour and 8 minutes. It's 22 tracks. He's got features from Her, Lil Durk, Don Q, and G Herbo, Kodak Black, Roddy Ricch. Yeah, man, I really like the one Water Drowning Part 2. That's the one with Kodak Black. You know, it's vibes. That's what it is. Vibes. Same reason I go to 21 Savage. Same reason I go to Drake. Same reason I go to Project Pat for the vibes. They're not known for their wordplay, no. But they can make some fucking bangers. And Ace Boogie with a Hoodie, it's vibes. If that was the aim, if that was the goal, you succeeded in that, my friend. Me Versus Myself, for you youngins out there. So we got quite a buffet of hip hop. We got some trap from Gucci. We got some boom bap, some lyrical wordplay shit from Apathy, from Cool G Rap. We got some of that sing-songy Rod Wave from Ace Boogie with a Hoodie. And we even got some sexiness from SZA. And we got that gangsta shit, Mount Westmore. But like I said, I didn't have time to check out those latter two, because that Gucci Mane fucking album is longer than the Roots saga. But I digress. But all things December 11th. In 1980, Magnum P.I. starring Tom Selleck premieres on CBS. In 1985, The Jewel of the Nile premiered in theaters. In 1987, the films Wall Street and Throw Mama from the Train premiered. In 1988, Roots, The Gift, the third installment of the Roots series, is broadcast on ABC. In 1991, Hook, starring Robin Williams and Dustin Hoffman, premiered in theaters. In 1992, the films A Few Good Men and The Muppet Christmas Carol premiered. In 1998, the films Jack Frost, Shakespeare in Love, A Simple Plan, Star Trek, Insurrection, and Still Crazy premiered. In 2001, Method Man and Redman released the How High soundtrack. Mobb Deep releases Infamy, Warren G releases The Return of the Regulator, and No Doubt releases Rocksteady. In 2007, Beanie Siegel releases The Solution, Birdman releases Five Stunna, The Dream releases Love Hate, and Gucci Mane releases Back to the Trap House. In 2009, The Princess and the Frog premiered in theaters, as well as Alicia Keys releasing The Element of Freedom. In 2012, The Game releases Jesus Piece. And in response to the death of Larry Hagman, the producers of Dallas announced that J.R. Ewing will be killed off in the revival's second season instead of replaced by a different actor. In 2013, the films Grudge Match and The Secret Life of Walter Mitty premiered. In 2015, R. Kelly releases The Buffet. And ironically, Playboy magazine publishes its last nude issue featuring Pamela Anderson on the cover. And was she still good by that time? In 2017, Mario Batali abruptly takes a leave of absence from his role as co-host of the ABC cooking talk show, The Chew, while the Food Network suspends plans for a revival of his 1996 to 2005 series, Malto Mario, amid allegations by four women, some of which stretch at least two decades, that Batali had sexually harassed them while they were working for the celebrity chef and restaurateur. The women disclosed in a story on the culinary news website Eater that Batali had either groped or conducted other inappropriate behavior during their employment by Batali at his restaurants. Batali was eventually fired from The Chew 3 days later. Must suck to be you. And in 2020, Jack Harlow releases That's What They All Say, and Kid Cudi releases Man on the Moon 3, The Chosen. But more important to me than any of that shit is that in 2007, the same day Beanie Siegel releases The Solution, Birdman releases Five Stunna, The Dream releases Love Hate, and Gucci Mane releases Back to the Trap House, the infamous Wu-Tang Clan releases 8 Diagrams. Yes, and it's the first album released after the death of Old Dirty Bastard. 8 Diagrams does not get enough credit for how great it is, because it's all of the surviving members in their element. Spitting, not worried about radio releases or happy-ass dance jingles. Something catchy. We gotta have something catchy. That's not how I like my Wu-Tang Clan. I like my Wu-Tang Clan and doing what they do best, and that is spitting on a fucking dope-ass RZA production. 8 Diagrams does just that. All of them. Each member. Yep. And it's important to me that all that other shit, because it's Wu-Tang Clan. 8 Diagrams, it's not Iron Flag, which is a plus. Today in sports history, in 1938, the National Football League Championship is held at Polo Grounds in New York City. The New York Giants beat the Green Bay Packers 23-17. In 1949, the Cleveland Browns beat the San Francisco 49ers 21-7 in the final AAFC Championship game. Go Ohio! In 1951, Joe DiMaggio announces his retirement from baseball. In 1954, the Phillies purchase Connie Mack Stadium. In 1966, Al Nelson sets an NFL record returning a missed field goal for 100 yards. In 1972, New York Jets' Don Maynard becomes the all-time pro reception leader with 632. In 1981, former world heavyweight boxing champion Muhammad Ali's 61st and last fight, he would lose to Trevor Burbick by unanimous decision in 10 rounds at Queen Elizabeth Sports Center in Nassau, Bahamas. In 1993, the 59th Heisman Trophy Award is presented to Charlie Ward, quarterback of Florida State. In 1995, Thomas O. Hicks buys NHL's Dallas Stars for $84 million. In the year 2000, the 66th Heisman Trophy Award is presented to Chris Winkie, quarterback of Florida State. In 2002, Joe Sakic scores his 500th career goal at Vancouver. In 2004, the 70th Heisman Trophy Award is presented to Matt Leinart, quarterback of USC. In 2009, Tiger Woods announces an indefinite leave from professional golf to focus on his marriage. And in 2021, the 87th Heisman Trophy Award is presented to Bryce Young, quarterback of Alabama. And that was my half-assed sports history. Coming up, I'll be discussing Wu-Tang Clan's album, Eight Diagrams, as it was released on this day in 2007. We'll be back after these messages.
Pigeon. I saw it like I wasn't paying attention. At last minute, I had to hit it. Drop that ass, it's a cataclysm. And if I drop a car, I guarantee she'll pick it up fast. If I buy my bitch a bag, won't be a hefty or glad. Niggas had a gated path, ain't wanna let me get past. Act like they was made of cash, except when I gave them my last. Thought you was my guy, it's a different world. Throw it in a bag just to get them my little girls. My bitch so fucking bad, I don't think about looking at girls. There's some women bad, but they still giving good referrals. Not as if it make a difference. Bitches is finished, the time they missing isn't getting replenished. Wanted my attention, but they didn't get a bigger percentage. Did all that shit to end up begging forgiveness. I'm closer to having millions than mad at bitches. My shorty not a bird, but a figure is cat a pigeon. I saw it like I wasn't paying attention. At last minute, I had to hit it. Drop that ass, it's a cataclysm. Yeah.
And a special mention to those no longer with us. Last Sunday, we lost American actor, musician, and children's author, Bob McGrath. Born Robert Emmett McGrath on June 13, 1932 in Ottawa, Illinois, he's best known for playing original human character Bob Johnson on the long-running educational television series Sesame Street. McGrath and his wife Anne married in 1958. They had five children, five granddaughters, and three grandsons. The couple lived in Teaneck, New Jersey from 1958 until 2017, after which they moved to a ranch in Norwood, New Jersey. McGrath died from complications of a stroke at home on December 4, 2022, at age 90. On Monday, we lost American actress Kirstie Alley. Born Kirstie Louise Alley on January 12, 1951 in Wichita, Kansas, her breakout role was as Rebecca Howe on the NBC sitcom Cheers from 1987 to 1993, for which she received an Emmy Award and a Golden Globe Award in 1991. From 1997 to 2000, she starred as the lead in the sitcom Veronica's Closet, earning additional Emmy and Golden Globe nominations. On film, she was perhaps best known for her role as Molly Jensen in Look Who's Talking and its two sequels, Look Who's Talking 2 and Look Who's Talking Now. Throughout the 1980s and 1990s, Alley appeared in various films, including Star Trek II, The Wrath of Khan, Summer School, Shoot to Kill, Madhouse, Sibling Rivalry, Village of the Damned, It Takes Two, Deconstructing Harry, For Richer or Poorer, and Drop Dead Gorgeous. Alley won her second Emmy Award in 1994 for the television film David's Mother. In 1997, Alley received another Emmy nomination for her work in the crime drama series The Last Don. In 2005, she played a fictionalized version of herself in Showtime's Fat Actress. In 2013, Alley returned to acting with the title role on the sitcom Kirstie. In 2016, she appeared on the Fox comedy horror series Scream Queens. She also appeared in reality television, including Kirstie Alley's Big Life and served as a contestant on the 12th season of Dancing with the Stars, where she finished in second place behind Hines Ward in the 22nd series of the British reality show Celebrity Big Brother, in which she finished as a runner-up. In 2022, she appeared on The Masked Singer. Allie died from colon cancer at Moffitt Cancer Center in Tampa, Florida, on December 5, 2022, at the age of 71. As per a statement released by her children, the cancer had only been recently discovered. On Tuesday, we lost American boxing referee, professional boxer, two-term district court judge, and television personality, Mills Lane. Born Mills B. Lane III on November 12, 1937 in Savannah, Georgia, he's best known for having officiated several major heavyweight championship boxing matches in the 1970s, 80s, and 90s, and for starring in the syndicated court show, Judge Mills Lane. On June 9, 2013, Lane was inducted into the International Boxing Hall of Fame and was inducted into the Nevada Boxing Hall of Fame on August 10 the same year. Lane suffered a debilitating stroke in March of 2002, which left him partially paralyzed and virtually unable to speak. With his blessing, this led to his celebrity deathmatch alter ego being voiced by Chris Edgerly for the MTV2 revival. Lane's adopted city of Reno proclaimed December 27, 2004 as Mills Lane Day. In May of 2006, Lane made his first public appearance in years at the dedication of a new courthouse in Reno, which is named after him. The Mills B. Lane Justice Center houses the Reno Municipal Court and the Washoe County District Attorney's Office. Lane died in Reno, Nevada on December 6, 2022, at age 85. Just this morning, we lost American professional basketball player and NBA head coach, Paul Silas. Born Paul Therone Silas on July 12, 1943 in Prescott, Arkansas, he would go on to become an NBA champion three times in 1974, 1976, 1979, a two-time NBA All-Star, two-time NBA All-Defensive First Team, three-time NBA All-Defensive second team All-American, third team All-American. His number 35 was retired by the Creighton Blue Jays, his alma mater. He would be the NCAA rebound leader in 1963, and he had second team honors and a parade All-Americans in 1960. Silas had two children, Paula and Steven. Steven Silas is the current head coach of the Houston Rockets. Silas died on December 11, 2022, at the age of 79. Michael Lang was an American concert promoter, producer, and artistic manager. Born Michael Scott Lang on December 11, 1944 in Brooklyn, New York, he's best known as the co-creator of the Woodstock Music and Art Festival in 1969. Lang served as the organizer of the event, as well as the organizer for its follow-up events, Woodstock 94 and the ill-fated Woodstock 99. He later became a producer of records, films, and other concerts, as well as a manager for performing artists, a critically acclaimed author, and a sculptor. Lang had five children. His first wife, vocalist Ann Lang, toured as a backup singer with Joe Cocker and Leon Russell from 1978 to 1982. At the time of his death, he was married to Tamara Patek. Lang died from non-Hodgkin lymphoma at the Memorial Sloan Kettering Cancer Center in New York City on January 8, 2022, at the age of 77. Rest easy, y'all. On this day in 2007, 8 Diagrams was released. 8 Diagrams is the fifth studio album by American hip-hop group Wu-Tang Clan, released on SRC Universal Motown Records. The album was released 3 years after the death of Old Dirty Bastard and 6 years after the group's previous LP, Iron Flag. Upon its release, 8 Diagrams debuted at number 25 on the Billboard 200 and number 9 on the top R&B hip-hop albums chart, with 68,000 copies sold in the first week. It has sold 202,000 copies in the United States as of April 2014. The album received generally favorable reviews from most music critics and earned greater praise than the group's previous album, Iron Flag. Eight Diagrams marked the group's first full collaboration since the death of original member Old Dirty Bastard, who had died in 2004. The album's title is derived from the martial arts film The Eight Diagram Pole Fighter. The group, which had not released an album since 2001's Iron Flag, signed a one-album deal with Steve Rifkin's SRC Records in December of 2006. Wu-Tang's four previous albums were all released on Rifkin's now-defunct Loud Records. On Sunday, August 5th, 2007, at the Virgin Festival in Baltimore, RZA announced that the release date for the album would be November 13, 2007, noting that this is the third anniversary of the death of Old Dirty Bastard. However, the date was delayed to December 11, 2007. In a release statement, group leader RZA commented on the need for the group's return, stating that this is the perfect time for us to come back. The stars are aligned. It's like when we first started with Steve. We put out real hip-hop at a time when it was turning into pop or R&B. We brought the focus back to the music in its rawest form, without studio polish or radio hooks. People want something that gives them an adrenaline rush. We're here to supply that fix. How could hip-hop be dead if Wu-Tang is forever? We're here to revive the spirit and the economics and bring in a wave of energy that has lately dissipated. At the public premiere of Wu, The Story of the Wu-Tang in New York City, Capadonna revealed that Wu-Tang had recorded between 40 and 50 songs for the record, of which around 14 would make up 8 Diagrams. Prior to the album's release, Loud.com issued a free 8 Diagrams mixtape containing exclusive and unreleased tracks, including Thug World, Life Changes, Stick Me For My Riches, and Weak Spot. In 2019, RZA revealed that 8 Diagrams was originally going to be the group's final album. 8 Diagrams featured the 8 living original Wu-Tang Clan members with previously recorded material from Old Dirty Bastard, as well as the tribute track titled Life Changes. The album marked the official inclusion of longtime Wu-Tang Clan affiliate Capadonna as an official member. Auxiliary member Streetlife also appears on the album. In an article from Enemy, it was stated that the album would feature production from Easy Mo B, Marley Marl, Q-Tip, DJ Scratch, and Nile Rodgers, though Easy Mo B would end up being the only producer on the list to make it on the album. George Clinton of P-Funk, Danny Harrison, John Frusciante of the Red Hot Chili Peppers, and Shavo Odadjian, bassist of System of a Down, also make appearances on 8 Diagrams. Unlike Wu-Tang's previous albums, which used the darker, sinister, and street-oriented signature Wu sound, RZA utilized a more experimental, orchestral, and more universal choice of music production for the album. Ghostface Killa and Raekwon stated in interviews that they were not comfortable with the album's release, as it did not contain the signature Wu-Tang sound. Raekwon planned a follow-up group album entitled Shaolin vs. Wu-Tang, without input from RZA. It was later announced in Vibe magazine, however, that Shaolin vs. Wu-Tang would be Raekwon's fifth solo album, and that it would feature guest appearances from several other group members, with no contributions from RZA. In regards to the album's direction, Raekwon stated, "RZA doesn't have to be on every album. I wanted to give some other producers a chance. It's not about beef. We can stand on our own." In a BBC Radio 1 Extra interview, Method Man stated that Watch Your Mouth would be the album's first single. However, it was rumored that the song's producer, DJ Scratch, was unable to get a sample clearance, which resulted in its omission on the final release of the album. Instead, the first official single was The Heart Gently Weeps, an adaptation of the Beatles song While My Guitar Gently Weeps. George Harrison's son, Danny Harrison, and John Frusciante of Red Hot Chili Peppers performed acoustic and lead and guitars respectively. Originally thought to be a sample track, it was later revealed as an interpolated version sampling Jimmy Ponder's cover of the song. The song features Raekwon, Ghostface, and Method Man rapping and guest singing provided by Erykah Badu. RZA also confirmed that Stone Mecca, one of the newer Wu-Tang affiliated groups, contributed backing music to the track. Upon its release, 8 Diagrams received generally positive reviews from most critics. USA Today's Steve Jones commended the group members' performances despite the absence of Old Dirty Bastard, stating the lyrical swords wielded by the 9 surviving members are as razor sharp as ever. Rolling Stone writer Christian Horde called a terrific mix of classic Klan grime and enough new tracks to justify Inspector Deck's claim that Wu-Tang keep it fresh like Tupperware. Marissa Brown of AllMusic praised RZA's production, writing that it's beautifully, impeccably produced, from the soundtrack strings and horns to the philosophical samples and guitars that are interspersed throughout. It deepens and grows with every listen. Brown wrote that the album does focus on melody and guitars and strings, but it's also lush and well-crafted and smart and addictive. Part of what's made RZA and the rest of the clan thrive is their unpredictability and inventiveness, and so to create something expected would be counterintuitive to the group's ethos and to what's made them so revered and respected across nations and genres and generations. However, Entertainment Weekly's Neil Drumming commented that the album is a drab dilution of the Wu's signature sample-heavy raucous sound. Thomas Galanopoulos of Spin viewed that the beats are mostly to blame, skeletal, low-key tracks that rarely match the rapper's palpable energy. Giving the album 2 out of 4 stars, Los Angeles Times called its arrangements largely tepid and wrote that several songs lack the rapper's distinctive personalities. Slant Magazine's Dave Hughes wrote that the album fails to cohere into anything greater than the sum of its parts and expressed a mixed response towards RZA's production, stating, "When RZA is attempting to tone-deafly integrate other people's old sounds into his old sounds, he just sticks with his old sounds." Khalifa Sana of the New York Times criticized the album's production as well, but complimented the performances of Ghostface Killa and Raekwon, stating that they provide many of the album's highlights. Dave Heaton of Pop Matters wrote, "Critics often use the word cinematic to describe the Wu-Tang sound. That word has never been more appropriate than with 8 Diagrams. RZA taps into his Ghost Dog and Kill Bill experiences to create imaginary film music, moody, would-be scores to westerns, martial arts, sci-fi, and gangster films." Blender's Jonah Wiener commended RZA's production as well, stating RZA has always been hip-hop's reigning minimalist, but his work scoring Kill Bill most recently seems to have strengthened his ear for ambience and texture. Wiener also complimented Method Man's delivery and rhymes on the album, stating that he sounds rejuvenated. Pitchfork Media's Nate Patron complimented the group members' lyricism. Sam Richards of Uncut gave 8 Diagrams 4 out of 5 stars and stated RZA's lurching beats and raw spectral productions peppered with kung fu film samples are back to their thrilling weird best. RZA's Dictator Rule has ostracized Ghost and Raekwon, but you can't argue with the results. On record at least, Wu-Tang have made the comeback of the decade. Happy anniversary, 8 Diagrams. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Once again, Wu-Tang Clan. Today's birthdays for December 11th. Turning 36 today is American basketball player and former All-Star Roy Hibbert. Happy 37th birthday to American wrestler James Ellsworth. Turning 43 is American actor, director, producer, and screenwriter Ryder Strong. American comedian, actor, and radio host Roy Wood Jr. turns 44. Happy 48th birthday to American wrestler and my favorite lucha libre of all time, Rey Mysterio. Happy 49th birthday to American rapper Mos Def, who goes by the name Yasiin Bey these days. American football player and sportscaster Willie McGinnis turns 51 today. Turning 55 is American comedian, actress, and producer Monique. American actor Gary Dordan turns 56 today. American bass player, songwriter, and producer Nikki Sixx turns 64 today. American basketball player, coach, and manager Stu Jackson turns 67. Turning 68 today is American singer, songwriter, bass player, and producer of the famous Jackson family, Jermaine Jackson. And turning 91 years old today is Puerto Rican American actress, singer, and dancer Rita Moreno.
So that wraps up another edition of Over the Culture Podcast. As always, check out my other show, Happened in the 90s, with my buddy Matt G every Thursday. And we're going to air our 100th episode on the 22nd. Yes, December 22nd, we're going to have our 100th episode, and we have so much more to go. Please also check out Crushgasm with Kendra every Wednesday, as well as B3F Podcast with Joey and Steve. And don't worry, the movie with Amanda and Wade. Cowboys win. Yes, let's end this on a high note. Y'all be cool. Peace.